We are recording. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The topic of today. Yes. I am back. Okay. All right. Can we start? Okay. Today's subject is about a man that if he did not stand up against the bad guys, okay, Islam that we have today would have been different than Islam that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught. Okay, what happened is that during the time of the during the period where the Muslim Empire was very strong, the Greek emperor felt threatened, so he wanted to weaken the Muslims. He wanted something to make the Muslims weak. So his advisors, which were very smart, told him, yes.
Can you get me glasses?
Yes.
You look really nice on you.
Thank you. Yes. His advisors said that, translate the books of philosophy that we have and send it to them. Okay? And they said that these books of philosophy, if they enter a nation, okay, when they enter a nation, this is going to confuse the nation and cause a lot of trouble. So the books of philosophy. All right. For example, I'll just give you an example. We say that God is able to do anything, right? So they come back to you and they say, can God create a rock that he can't carry? Yes. Okay, so that's philosophy. Why is that philosophy? I mean, why is it tricky? Because if you say yes, then he can't carry the rock. If you say no, then he can't make the rock. Got it? So whether either way, you know, is a problem. Now, how do you answer that, if you recall?
He only does what is right.
What is appropriate for him. Is it appropriate for him to create such a rock? No. So would Allah do everything? No. He will only do what is appropriate for him. So don't let them trap you there. Can Allah cheat?
No.
I mean, he can, but he won't. He won't because it's not appropriate for his majesty. Okay? So these kind of philosophy that came in. So now what happened is that there were the clown of the entertainment industry. Because the Muslim Ummah was so rich and powerful, the elites had, you know, they didn't have any movies, TV, they didn't have these things. So the elites want to have fun.
The Quran competition isn't that. Do you want to send them there?
Yeah, send them here.
Who's absent?
Tanya.
Oh, right.
Zainab.
Okay, so the clowns of entertainment industry, they used to entertain the rich. Entertain the rich with the stories, entertain the rich with... Okay, come over here. Okay, fine. Just let's go on. So they do a lot of entertainment activities to amuse the rich elites. So they ran out of ideas, pretty much, and they wanted to come up with something new. So they heard about these books of philosophy that were coming from the Greek Empire, translated into Arabic, and then they started using it and reading it. Okay? And then they started making a lot of philosophical talks and philosophical things like that, just like what I said about the Quran, about Allah and the rock. Things like that that amusing. Then they felt that also they want to expand their area. The philosophy that they used to entertain the rich was a booming idea. It was a good idea. It worked. It really worked. Okay? So the rich elites are amused now. So now they want to go one step further, which is take over Islam and become the expert in Islam, become the authority. Okay? Now, the authority at that time was Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So if we draw authority, So on the top of the pyramid here is Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal.
It's IBM.
It's Ben Hanbal, like Ben Laden.
Oh, is it Ibn or
Ben? Ben. Okay. Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal was on the top of the authority. He was like the top guy. If he approves something, then it's right. If he disapproves something, then it's wrong. And he is well known about, this was well known about him, and everybody believed into Imam Ahmed, and everybody was following Imam Ahmed. So now they wanted to take this authority away to them. They wanted to take this authority away from them, to them. So they started taking the names of Allah and reinterpret them using philosophy. So they started applying philosophy on the names of Allah. So now they come and say, okay, Allah says in the Quran, I have an eye. Okay, my eye. Okay? So they say, Allah said to the Prophet, فَإِنَّكَ بِعَيُنِنَا, I keep you in my eyes, or I protect you with my eyes, something like that. So Allah said he has eyes. So those guys come and back and say, oh, no way, you can't say Allah has eyes. Okay, it's bad to say Allah has eyes. The eyes here mean the wisdom. Okay, you see what I'm saying? So this is an interpretation that they came up with. Was it right or wrong? Just think about it. If you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you tell him and Allah asks you, how did you know that I have eyes? And your answer would be, Ya Allah, I read your book and you had said there that you have eyes. Are you going to be right or wrong? Right, no, right. You're just following what Allah said in the Quran that he has eyes. Now, how about if you say, Allah asks you, who told you that my eyes means wisdom? What would be your answer? Nothing, because they came up with it. Somebody came up with this. Without any authority, without any knowledge, those philosophers, the clowns of the entertainment industry, they were messing with the names of Allah. So they started doing that, and Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal used to, you know, speak against them and tell people that those are clowns and they don't, that what they're doing is wrong. So now came a big problem between them and between him and the clowns, and this problem became very severe when the clowns were trying to reinterpret the Quran. Now, what is the definition of Quran? They wanted to have a different definition of the Quran. What is the definition of Quran? Yes. It is the speech of Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad through Angel Jibreel. That's the formal definition of Quran. It is the speech of Allah. Speech of Allah is the actual words, speech of Allah. So they said, no, Allah doesn't speak. It's okay, what do you mean Allah doesn't speak? Allah doesn't speak. Then what is the Quran? They say the Quran is the creation of Allah. The creation of Allah. You see here the how they are trying to mess with the names of Allah and with the Quran and with the Islamic fundamental definitions. So, Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal.
Graduation party?
If you guys weren't
invited,
then you guys weren't.
How are you supposed to be invited?
They will tell you.
Everyone in this class is graduating.
They're graduating
is in
June. Okay?
No,
all right.
There's a party with a lot of people.
Well, We can, you guys can go to the party after the class is over. No, there will be food. Don't worry about the food. The food that you get here is more important.
Okay.
You want to get to hear these things. Huh? Yes, the science, the knowledge food. After the class, you can go for the food. All right, now let's go back to the concept. Let's go back to the problem here. Okay, so see how ridiculous is this problem? The clowns of the entertainment industry are saying the Quran is the creation of Allah. Now, what is the true? The Quran, true definition of Quran is that the speech of Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad through Angel Jibreel. Okay? They want to make it the creation of Allah. Why? Because they say Allah does not speak. What do you mean Allah doesn't speak? They say because you can't say Allah speaks or you will be lowering Allah by saying that he speaks like us. Or lowering, you know, like you will have the low image of Allah. When you say he speaks, then you have low image of him. Those are the clowns. But Allah says in the Quran that he speaks. Allah says in the Quran he speaks. You got it? They say no, he doesn't mean really speak. He means like make spread knowledge. You know what I'm saying? They are trying to reinterpret the names of Allah to their desires, to take away the authority from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and the scholars under him, because there are scholars under Imam Ahmad, and so forth. So they got mad. Now, why Imam Ahmad stood up against them? Because they would expand, and they will go for more and more, and they are going to ruin Islam. Okay? It's just the first step. Okay? So if the creation of Allah, if Quran is the creation of Allah, then Quran will age, right? With age, with time. So the next step is saying now the Quran is 600 years old. Now he's very old. We need to...
update.
We need to... Yes, exactly. I mean, you don't know what is the next step. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal told them, stop, stop. You are not getting into this area. You are not going to mess with the names of Allah and with the Quran. You are not going to do that. Quran is the speech of Allah, not the creation of Allah. The actual speech of Allah. Okay? And Allah speaks. The way he speaks is the way which is appropriate for his majesty. Which is what? This is very important. He has a hand. But the hand is not like our hand. It's hand which is appropriate for his majesty. Allah speaks. So this is the need to understand. Allah speaks. But his speech is not like our speech. It is appropriate. It is whatever is appropriate for his majesty. Allah has hand. But it's not like our hand. It is a hand appropriate for his majesty. Allah has eye, not like ours. It is appropriate for his majesty. Like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, Allah has two hands. Both of them are right hands. He doesn't have the left hand. How? It is whatever is appropriate for his majesty. You don't think of a shape, but you take it as is. You take it as is. Okay? And then they make... the ayah that says Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, that Allah took over the throne. This is the literal meaning, that Allah took over the throne. Okay? Another meaning is that Allah established himself on the throne. They say, no, that's not the meaning. The meaning is that Allah has elevated the throne, and they kept coming up with the bogus meaning that has no meaning, has no foundation. The problem with them is that whatever they come up with has absolutely no foundation or no basis in Islam. They are just dreaming it up or making it up. Okay? So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, another example that a group came called Group al-Jahmiyyah, They said Allah is everywhere. So, where do you think Allah is everywhere? Do you think this is correct?
He's wherever.
For His Majesty. But can I say it is appropriate for His Majesty to be everywhere? No.
No.
Why not?
Because he can't be in the toilet.
Exactly.
Earth is full of haram stuff and
yes. So Allah is located in heavens. Is located in heaven. What do I mean by located? It's whatever is appropriate for His Majesty. He's located in heaven. He's not located in dirty places. However, His knowledge and wisdom and power is what?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. So the knowledge of Allah is everywhere. His power is everywhere. He knows everything, controls everything. But He does not exist everywhere. And then those guys come say Allah is everywhere. So
yes,
there is Allah here.
The heavens, and there's one more thing. Can you
guys?
One more place. Like the outside of the most outside and the...
Inside of the most inside.
Yeah.
Mosque.
Most inside.
What?
It's inside the most inside and outside the most outside.
And earth.
By the way, is inside limited or unlimited? Outside is unlimited. You can keep going and there's no end. Right? Now, inside, is it infinity or not? It's infinity. You know why? Because think of it of having a microscope. If you have a microscope of power 1 to 400, you will see inside. Okay? And then you bring, yes, you bring a microscope with a scale 1 to 1,000, you can see more inside. Then you bring a microscope that has a power of 1 to a million, you still can see more inside. What's the end? There's no end. The larger is...
A lot of insides because inside of what? Like, inside the most inside, that could be like your heart, or it could be like... Inside of like the sun or whatever planet is the center of the universe, and then inside of the sun, inside that core, it could be inside of anything.
But he is inside of every inside and outside of every outside. The more powerful is the microscope. Yeah, she's explaining it right. You're doing well. Keep going.
Well, this is like this paradox that we read in a book, and it's like there's like the turtle choice in the person, and that it's like the turtle thing is like 10 meters like in front of you, and then if you give it time, like you walk, and the thing will move, and you'll move, but then like even and then like you can just walk by it, but like technically it's an infinity because like in the time that you move. It's also moving, so the distance is getting smaller, but it's like never ending.
Exactly.
So, oh my God.
Or think of it as the power of the microscope. The more powerful is the microscope, the more you discover inside. The more inside you can get to. And the power of the microscope can keep going to infinity.
Like DNA.
You know what I'm saying?
There's actually stuff inside DNA.
But he is not located... He is not located in everywhere. Located everywhere that I can say Allah's here. Allah's here. Allah's here. Allah's here. Is located. Okay? So that's another ridiculous thing. But let's go back. By the way, how come I say Allah in heaven? Do I have basis? Yes. What is the basis? The hadith of the little girl. Hadith, basis. Basis or basis?
I like the way it comes.
Basis, right? The basis is a hadith where a young girl came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, "Where is Allah?" Prophet Muhammad pointed up and he said, "What? In heavens." Okay? So that's the basis of my statement, or the basis of my statement that Allah is located in heaven, just like the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Should I be taking notes?
Yes. Okay. So then what happened to the Quran problem? They were so mad at Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal that he is an obstacle in front of them, is like blocking them from progressing and achieving their goals. Goals to be the authority of Islam. Like they want to replace him. They want to be here. Okay? So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, no. I'm not going to let you even put a foot into this area. This area is outside. This area is not your area. This area off limits. You don't get into this area. So they convinced the Khalifa that he should torture Imam Ahmad. They used silly logic. They said, okay, if he is sincere, then he will not change his mind when he's tortured. But if he's not sincere, then why isn't he sincere? Because he wants money, right? And power. So when you give him punishment and humiliate him, he will say, well, I'm doing this to be powerful and to have money. Then if I am tortured, then I give up on it. You understand the logic, the sick logic? So they say if he's sincere, he's going to take whatever pain without changing his position. But if he's not sincere, he says that he would say to himself, my position, I took this position so that I have recognition, power, and knowledge. Now this position is bringing me nothing but pain. Then I give up and change my position. Got it? So this is what they have convinced the Khalifa. So the Khalifa brought him, and he put him in jail to change his mind. Then he asked him, is the Quran the creation of Allah or the word of Allah, speech of Allah? He says the speech of Allah. So they beat him up. They beat him up really hard. And they don't beat him up in private places. No, they take him in the market in front of the people and they beat him up and his clothes will fall down because of the beating. And then they will ask him, what do you think? Is it the speech of Allah or the creation of Allah? He says it is the speech of Allah. And it was a lot of struggle. They kept beating him. And the actual Khalifa that was ordering his punishment died and came another Khalifa. And he continued punishing him until they gave up. When he was so persistent, he gave up. They gave up. Why? Because if he says it's the creation of Allah, then what happens?
Everyone.
That's it. Then he made it. Just like he has endorsed that statement. Then they are going to go more and more and more and more into it. So this is why we say that if not Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, if not Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Islam that we have today would have been different. Why? At the time of Abu Bakr, they wanted to deduct zakah from Islam. So they want to make Islam four pillars, not five. They want to take away zakah.
Wow, that's selfish.
Exactly. And what did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said? He said, no way. And he fought anybody who says Islam is four pillars. And he won. So he protected Islam from changing. Now, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he stood up against the philosophy that was used to reinterpret the names of Allah and the definition of Quran. If he would have given up, then...
Then we will have
a lot of innovations. Now, innovation of Islam, is it good or bad?
Bad.
Okay. It is bad if it relates to the religion of Islam. And it is good if it relates to, like, technology. You got it? So Islam is the gainest, we call it bid'ah. Learn this word, bid'ah. Yes, thank you. You caught me in the last minute. It's called bid'ah in the last second.
I should probably take my marker that again.
You need to say here that, I'm sorry, that the Greeks emperor was afraid of the growth of the Muslim Ummah, so he wanted to screw them up. So he translated the Greek's book of philosophy in Arabic and sent it to the Khalifa.
Oh, yeah.
And it was picked up by the... Okay. All right. So what is bid'ah? Bid'ah means innovation. Did I spell innovation right? Does it have two?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, yeah, you spelled it.
You spelled it right.
Perfect. Oh,
good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So the innovation in Islam, in the religion of Islam, is haram. The one who does an innovation in Islam, haram. Innovation in technology, wow, good. Innovation in Islam, haram. For example, if I come and say, okay, guys, when we pray, we put our hands like this. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik, Yawm al-Din, Iyyaka na'budu.
Okay, but if you say multitasking,
this is called innovation. Innovation. And it is forbidden in Islam. Somebody says, okay, if you want to do dhikr, you mean like remembrance of Allah, to keep mentioning the name of Allah so that we think about Him and remember Him. If we want to say, Allah hay, Allah hay, Allah hay, Allah hay, Allah hay, with the drum. Is that a way? Can you do that? The answer is no. That's an innovation. Why? Because just think about it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think about it. Would you imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing with the drum and saying Allah hay, Allah hay, and then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu next to him says Wahidu, 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 and Umar on the left is saying La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. You're laughing, but I want to tell you that you're laughing, but I want to tell you something. I want to tell you that nowadays there are people who do that. There is a large number of people who do dhikr this way. Allah hay, Allah hay, Allah hay, Allah hay, wahidu la ilaha illallah. There are people, no. You are guys are laughing, but I want to tell you. Okay, you guys are laughing, but I want to tell you that a lot of people are praying this way. I'm sorry, a lot of people are making dhikr this way. We call them...
Variation of...
No, they claim they're Muslims, and they claim they're not doing anything wrong. I like to call them goofy Sufi. Okay? They call themselves Sufis, but I like to call them goofy Sufi. Why? Because Sufism is okay, but... This kind of Sufism is goofy, okay? You can't do that, all right? And then, another innovation that's forbidden in Islam is secret formulas. Secret formulas. What are the secret formulas? They tell you, okay, you want Allah to give you a boy? Let's say you don't have children and you want a child. So they tell you, you want Allah to give you a boy? You say, please, yeah, how can I do that? They say, okay, that's what you do. You read 20 ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah plus 100,000 subhanallah plus 5,000 Allahu Akbar plus ba-ba-ba-ba. They give you okay.
Where were you?
Oh, we're on contest.
Is it dad?
My brother.
Is it dad?
Yeah.
Oh, pretty much.
Did he win?
What?
So,
back
to this business here. It's very important, girls, to understand that innovations are not acceptable. So they say, okay, you want to have a baby boy? Then you do 20 ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, that 100,000 subhanallah, keep saying subhanallah, 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 until it just becomes meaningless. Because how many subhanallah you can comprehend and touch your heart? Probably 33. After that it becomes like you become like a sounding machine or something. But they say plus $5,000, I'm sorry, plus $5,000, Allahu Akbar, plus donating $2,000 to your sheikh. Your sheikh is the one who gives you these secret formula. It's like you go, Sheikh, can you help me? Then he gives you this secret formula. So plus $2,000 for him.
Secret formula, by the way.
Yeah, formula. And then they say guaranteed. If you try that, you get a baby. Now, the question is, where did the sheikh come up with this formula?
Oh, yeah. Also, this is really risky because if they don't get the baby, then they're probably going to drop out from Islam.
No, the sheikh will tell them, try again. You didn't get it right. Try again. Then he might say, okay, instead of making 100,000, you made 100,001. So it didn't work. You need to do it again. And they keep... You probably lost the gun somewhere. They have a niche there, or they have a way, okay, to back them up if you don't get a boy, because that's crap.
Question: mm-hmm. Why would you need to do all this to have a boy?
Oh,
why?
This is an
a boy requirement.
This is an innovation. We're talking about innovations.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, so sheikh, Sufi sheikhs, you go to say I want a baby boy. He gives you that formula. Where did he get the formula from? He came up with it. He made it up. He made up this formula. You understand? Okay. How about making tasbih 33 times after the prayer? And then takbir. And then alhamdulillah 33 times after every prayer. Is that a real formula or a made up formula?
Can you repeat it?
33 times subhanallah. 33 times
alhamdulillah.
That's authentic, right? That's a real thing that the Prophet taught us, right? And then there is a lot of dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us.
If too much innovation happened, then we wouldn't know also where the innovated started and where the authentic.
Perfect. Perfect. Let me explain why. Let's say this is the mainstream. And then you have one innovation here. So it will split into two branches. One that says innovation is good. The other says innovation is bad. Or like they say, it's good. Let's say good and bad. Then you get a second innovation here. So it branches the people, divide people into who says good and bad. And then there's another innovation here, derive good and bad. And the more you give, the more you come up with more innovations, the more you divide people, keeps dividing. At the end...
That's what happened to Christianity.
Exactly.
There's so many different branches because they have all these new ideas.
Hello? Yes. I asked my fellow Christians, how did Jesus pray? They don't have an answer. Every priest gives... some say you pray like this, others say you pray like that. They have made up so much in the religion that the actual way Jesus prayed is not known nowadays. There are so many ways of praying. And then the good answer that I've heard is that pray with your own way. Jesus is going to figure out that you're praying for him. You don't have to have a formal way of praying. Well, that's the best answer they have. But however, this is not acceptable in Islam because we have a formal prayer. The pray? Okay. Yes. Allahu Akbar. However, by the way, there are differences that are valid legal differences. Like, for example, if you put your hands here, it's okay. If you put your hands like this, it's okay. However, we should put our hands like this. Okay? But don't... No. So, between here and here, these are legal differences. Why? Why do I say legal differences? No, why do I say legal differences? Because the Muslim scholars were divided onto it. They didn't settle which one is right. Okay? So because they didn't settle which one is right, then both ways are okay. So don't see somebody praying like that and just get on her and say, whoa, 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 whoa. That's an innovation. Okay? So... Unless you understand the differences between madahib, don't. Another example, the sunnah, they call it the sunnah ratiba, means the regular sunnah that the Prophet prayed. They say two before fajr, four before dhuhr, two after maghrib, two after isha. That's one narration. Another narration is two before Fajr, two before Dhuhr, two after Asr, two after Maghrib, two after Isha. There wasn't here anything after Asr, but here there is two after Asr. So the difference, basically, not to confuse you, the difference is this. The difference is that one says four before Asr, and the other says two before Asr, and two after.
Before has an E afterwards.
You got it? So these are two differences. These are called valid differences, legal differences. Why? Because Muslim scholars could not settle. Could not settle which one is right. Could not settle it because the Prophet did it. One reason is that the Prophet might have done it both ways. So some people saw the Prophet doing it that way. Other people saw the Prophet doing it the other way. So they ended up narrating both. So these are legal differences. Differences that was approved by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? I'm sorry, approved by the Quran, approved by the scholars and the Prophet, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes?
My mom says you're not supposed to make sajda after Asr until Maghrib. So why would you do two sunnah?
Isn't it four before Dhuhr?
Yes. I'm sorry. Dhuhr. Thank you.
Dhuhr.
Okay, I'm glad it confused you so that you can correct me. That's good. Dhuhr. So it's either four after Dhuhr or two after Dhuhr, two before Dhuhr and two after Dhuhr. You got that? Okay. So, other than that, I'll give you another example of a legal difference that the Prophet has approved. After a battle, one of the battles, the Prophet wanted to attack the tribe of Bani Qurayza because they betrayed him. So the Prophet wanted people to rush into Bani Qurayza. So he told them, do not pray al-Asr except in Bani Qurayza. It was Dhuhr time. People prayed Dhuhr with the Prophet. And the Prophet said, do not pray Asr here. Pray Asr. Do not pray Asr until you arrive to Bani Qurayza. Okay? This means two things, two different things. The first one is that the Prophet means hurry. Hurry up.
Hurry.
The Prophet said what? Hurry up. Do it. Go fast.
Hurry up.
Hurry up. Hurry. Yeah. So that's what is the first meaning. This is a group of Sahaba understood it this way. So they started traveling towards the tribe of Bani Qurayza. When Asr came, they prayed Asr. When Maghrib came, they prayed Maghrib. When Isha came, they prayed Isha, and then they arrived. Good? That's the first group. The second group said no. The Prophet said, we don't pray Asr except in Bani Qurayza. They took it literally. So they started traveling to Bani Qurayza. When Asr time came, they skipped Asr. And then Maghrib came, they prayed Maghrib. Isha came, they prayed Isha. When they arrived to Bani Qurayza, they prayed Asr. Just literally, like the Prophet said. So both went to the Prophet, and the Prophet said, both are right. Both ways are right. You got it? Okay. For example, another difference of madahib. Imam, usually from the area you guys from, India and Pakistan and Bangladesh, the madhab that's widely spread over there is madhab Abu Hanifa. Madhab what? Abu Hanifa. Okay? Abu Hanifa. So people sometimes, they just follow Hanafi madhab and they reject other madhabs. That's wrong. Because the differences between madahib are legal differences, permissible differences, because scholars did not settle the difference. So you just can follow anyone you want. You understand? I'll give you an example. Saying after walad dalin, ameen. A lot of people don't say ameen. Imam Abu Hanifa does not say ameen loudly. He says what? Yes. So if you pray in the masjid, you see half of the people who pray will say Ameen and half will not say Ameen. If there is an Arab praying, one person who speaks Arabic praying, this person will say Ameen. But if this person is from the Pakistan, Bangladesh, India, this
Ameen.
No, they don't say Ameen. They are silent.
Oh, I see.
You got that? You saw that? You noticed that?
You could be following a different imam. It's just like from that general region, they like to follow
Abu Hanifa. Yes. Another difference, also the people who follow Imam Abu Hanifa, when they make iqamah, they say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, four times. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Basically, they make the iqamah like the adhan. They make the iqamah like the adhan. The only difference they add, they add qad qamat as-salah. That's it. But if the person is not following Imam Abu Hanifa, they make iqamah like this. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, qad qamat salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. That's other than Imam Abu Hanifa. If it is Imam Abu Hanifa, following Imam Abu Hanifa, they say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, hayya ala falah, qad qamat as-salah, qad qamat as-salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Which means that the difference between iqamah and adhan is just qad qamat as-salah, qad qamat as-salah. You got it? Both are fine. Both are fine. And sometimes ignorant people who don't recognize these differences, they end up, you know, confusing others and confusing themselves. I'll give you an example. If you pray behind a brother who's from Algeria, go ahead. Huh? Oh, 5 minutes left. So let me finish this thought. If you pray behind a person, okay, and this person is from Algeria or Morocco, the formal, how many ways, by the way, we can read Quran? How many ways? How many ways? We can.
You can read it in a lot of ways.
There are 7 major ways and 3 minor ways. In other words, there are 7 famous and 3 are not. So, there's another, the way we read Quran, and we were learning Quran here, we learn the reading of Hafs. Reading the what? Hafs. You guys in Pakistan, India, everything, you learn Hafs. In Egypt, we learn Hafs. In Syria, we learn Hafs. The reading of Quran.
What are they in China?
No. Don't joke. You got it? You understand? Now, why Hafs is so spread? Because the Ottoman emperor, the Ottoman Khalifa, adopted the reading of Hafs and he spread it all over the Muslim world. So it became the most popular way. That's what you're learning here and everywhere. However, in Libya, okay, they preferred the reading using the method of Qalun. So, Hafs, we know Hafs. And then we know Qalun. Okay? Now, there is also the people in Algeria, they read using Warsh. Okay, what am I going into here is that when you pray behind an imam who's from Algeria or from Libya, hello, they will not say Maliki Yawmi Din. They will say what?
Maliki Yawmi.
No, they will say Maliki Yawmi Din.
Oh, Maliki, I like
Maliki Yawmi Din. Okay, now if you don't understand that there is a way to read it this way, then you say Maliki Yawm al-Din. And then the imam says, Maliki Yawm al-Din. You say, Maliki Yawm al-Din. He says, Maliki Yawm al-Din.
Maliki Yawm al-Din.
You're allowed to correct the imam while they're praying.
Yes, but
you have to be kind of careful during that because yes, they have just a slight difference.
You need
to a different type of the
Another example, another difference that there's a joke behind.
Oh my God!
Okay. Calm yourself. You know Surah Al-Shams? You know Surah Al-Shams? What is the end? وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. Is that okay? Now, The way Qalun reads it, it says فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَ. So instead of وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَ, it's what? فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَ. So now there is this joke. The Imam reading using Qalun. So he's saying فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا. And there is this guy who knows only Hafs, says وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا. The Imam says فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا. The guy said وَلَا يَخَافُ. Where are you going? وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا. So you know at the end, a guy from the back, he said وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا. It's a different method of reading, you idiot.
Oh, idiot. An idiot.
He quitted the prayer. It's like this. Come here, Lina. We're praying. So, Lina talks. So, Lina's talking. So, while I'm praying, I tell her, haha, your prayer is invalid because you talked. Oh, yes. Okay. So, just be careful. All right. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.